numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
All right, it is a new week here. Alexander, I am Jared Smith in for Gil the next 2 days. This is a numbers game live from the D in downtown Las Vegas. I've got Kelly Bidlin here as well. Kelly, and I'll be honest, so this is the first time I've done this show. Walking across Fremont Street to the D at 6 in the morning, I can check that off the bucket list now. That was a new experience for me that I'd never had before. I've lived in Vegas now for about 18 months, but how are we doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Every once in a while, I will go across the street to Dunkin' Donuts, and even that, just going across Fremont, it's usually some solid people watching, so yeah. Going all the way from Circuit to the D, I'm sure you saw some great things on a President's Day weekend.
Honestly, probably a little quieter than normal. If it was a regular Monday from Sunday night into Monday morning, some of the leftover party crowd sometimes might still be around floating there at 6 a.m. But President's Day, everything's buttoned up. We got a great show today. Coming up a little later this hour, Jay Kahn from SiriusXM Fantasy Hockey Show does a really good job. Going to talk a little puck with us. And then in our next hour, Steve Mackinnon, VSiN writer and editor, of course, you know his work, very familiar with his stuff, is going to chat with us as well. But Kelly, I think a good place to start is the show, of course, presented by DraftKings. We appreciate all of you tuning in after what was a very interesting NBA All-Star weekend. And I think that obviously is top of mind this morning as we get going. Of course, the Saturday and Sunday, very different when it comes to NBA All-Star weekend. And I think that's where I want to start today, because the East set a scoring record last night. I think 3 points was a record as well, attempts and makes for the East as they win 211-186. No consequences from the game, right? There's no home court advantage at stake. It was one of those games where I was hoping, based off of the line movement that we saw in the 24 hours or so leading up to the game, that Adam Silver's messaging, which was, guys, we need to have a little bit more giddy up, a little more oomph with the All-Star game compared to what we saw last year. I think, Kelly, that's why we saw this number drop considerably. I mean, I bet under 366 at South Point on Saturday morning. And by the time we wake up Sunday, we're sitting in the 350s. This number closes 353. So I think the sentiment across town with the professional gamblers was that, okay, we're going to see a little bit more defense. We're going to see a little bit more hustle in the All-Star game. That was not the case. It was loafing. It was lollygagging. It was a dunk fest. It was a half-court three-point fest. Damian Lillard went absolutely bananas after winning the three-point contest on Saturday night. Had another great night on Sunday. And I just don't know what to make of what I watched, because it just felt like these guys cared less this year than last year.
Yeah, it's first off, you know, congratulations, Dame. Take the rest of the season off. You've accomplished everything you needed to accomplish this year, right?
It's true.
I felt those vibes yesterday too. It was like, all right, man, like you got a long rest of the season left to go here with the Bucks, or a team that needs to get a whole lot better real quick. It was interesting, Jared. I think that's true. I mean, you had Adam Silver's comments. You had some Larry Bird comments about wanting to see some effort. I don't really know why. I mean, the total movement was wild. That was wild.
Yes.
And I think you're right. I think that's why it occurred. I just think if that was Adam Silver trying to get a message across to the NBA players, they don't care, man.
No.
They don't care. I think I think what we saw was a lot of the success of the in-season tournament was, we talked about how much are these star players going to care about a little extra cash.
Good point.
I think there was some of that, Jared. We did see that play out. But I think more importantly for a lot of those guys, it was the realization, if you're a LeBron James or something like that, that it's, there's a lot of other guys that have to contribute to me getting to where I get to.
Yeah.
And it was trying to go out there and win the money for the rest of those guys. And I think the All-Star games, all of them are broken. Like, I don't think there's any fixing. I know there's a lot of that discussion this morning of like, what do we do to fix this? I don't think there is anything fixing this. I think if you can continue to improve on the stuff that they're doing on Saturday nights, much like we were talking a little before the show, you brought up the Home Run Derby. The Home Run Derby's awesome.
It's the pinnacle of All-Star events.
It's great. I think the three-point contest is great.
Agreed.
I think what they did with Steph Curry and Sabrina Ionescu was great. I think the dunk contest is the one that we we could actually maybe fix.
Sure.
And can we throw some money at that and maybe make that a thing?
I think judging events is always difficult. That's why whenever I bet on I have bet on the Olympics before, I always struggle with the events that are judged. I prefer the events that are timed or you can get points, et cetera, because the events that are judged, there's bias involved. And the dunk contest is kind of its own separate entity.
Never forget getting burned in the floor exercise in 2016. That was just a brutal loss.
Figure skating, for crying out loud. Like, can we? But so the thing about it is, I'm looking at it from a unique lens. So, you know, Kelly and the staff that covers the NBA here on the network, absolutely fantastic. They're diehard NBA guys. They're watching the All-Star game no matter what. The goal of these events is to bring in the casual, which is me. I used to be a diehard NBA better watcher when the Knicks were good back in the 90s, 2000s. And then a little bit over the last couple of years, I've kind of receded because I'm getting into football and kind of baseball, Nerfies, college basketball. Those are kind of my sports that I focus on. So the NBA, like the NHL, like golf, which are sports that I love to watch, to play, they've taken a back seat with my everyday handicapping.
Sure.
Makes sense. The NBA, I am the target market for what the All-Star game should be, which is the casual NBA fan right after the Super Bowl. That's when they really start to get invested in the league as we make that ascent towards the playoffs. And they lost me. I mean, I sat down on my couch last night for the first time in what feels like since last finals and actually watched the game. And I just was at a loss. Like, it was just guys just running up and down. And I know there's no fixing this. Kelly is correct. This is what it is. Adam tried to have a heart-to-heart with the players. We thought it was going to work. And I think from a gambling perspective, if you want to spin this back towards the gambling vein, the movement we saw yesterday is a classic example of how information disseminated through a market eventually filters down and then just absolutely blows up a market. And we saw this with the WNBA All-Star game a couple years ago, not quite to the extent of that, which was like a 20th. It was like a crazy move. But still, I had an opportunity if I wanted to yesterday, and I took a little bit off the top, a 13-point middle in an NBA game. I know it was an exhibition, but an NBA game, right? I bet under 366. Market closed 353. I took a little bit back over 353. So as I'm watching it, I'm just kind of like, all right, let's hope for a middle, but also not concerned with which side will actually hit because my bet was relatively protected. So I'm watching this game with an open mind. And I just, there was nothing redeemable about it last night. It just felt like nobody cared.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. I look, from a betting standpoint, I think what you did, we were texting about yesterday, that's about as best as you can do in an NBA All-Star game. I think there are some guys I know that kind of track player prop stuff. I do think that's an angle when you know some guys that never score.
The props are always an angle in any sport now because of what the markets are available.
Totally, yeah, absolutely. But I mean, for the most part, side total. Like, you just save the money for something else. Like, there are too many other things that you can actually truly handicap and bet on to be throwing away your money on this.
So the story behind it for me was I got a tip earlier in the week. It was on Thursday that there was some big under money coming in at one of the smaller retail shops here in America. And it was kind of it kind of slipped through the cracks kind of bet where it happened overnight. And some of the traders were confused because it was they thought it was a regular season game and it wasn't. But what that did was it kind of set this, I think, numbers grab in motion where all of a sudden I started to see come Friday, Saturday, all of those three. I mean, there was 368s
out
there.
Yeah, it was wild. Yeah.
And then I started to slowly see that trickle down Saturday. And then Sunday morning is when we really saw the descent downward. And it was just a march lower on that total. 360, steaming it under. 355, steaming it under. And I think the landing spot was 353. Game fly. It was a stone cold over from the start. It cleared it by 40 points. 211, 186 to final. The East wins. And you could just see the Adam Silver in the press conference or in the presentation right after the game. He's just like, well, you scored the most points. Like, you could, even Adam was kind of struggling to hold back. Like, man, what did we just put on?
Yeah, he didn't look happy. He just flat out didn't look happy. You had scoreboard issues where they didn't even have a two available because nobody had gotten like 200 before.
That sounds about that.
That was a thing somehow last night.
That's on brand.
Like, I, All-Star game. Hey, it is what it is. I feel like every one of these that we're going to complain about them three times a year, right?
We'll get back to regular business tomorrow.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Mac McClung, the other star of the weekend, won the dunk contest again. And again, the dunk contest to me, it used to be the pinnacle. It was the home run derby, right? The Vince Carter days, yep, and even the Nate Robinson days, like 10, 15 years ago. But I think the last few years, it's become a little bit, I don't want to say sterile, but Mac McClung's not even an NBA player.
Yeah, I mean, half the dudes that participated on Saturday night are not in the NBA. Yeah.
I think the only thing that can save the dunk contest, if they do a drastic renovation of how it's graded, or LeBron, Giannis. Like, one of those guys saying, okay, screw it. Let's just do it and figure out a way to pump some life into what I think, in my eyes, has the potential to be the jewel of an All-Star weekend.
I'm with you, and I think that there is, like, the All-Star game I'm kind of giving up on. I think the dunk contest, there's something you could do. I don't have all the answers, but with the way they put together the in-season tournament and how well it worked out, I think there is some kind of financial motivation you could. I mean, if it's a large amount of money for some of these star players, like charities
something
that they work with or something like that, like, I think there's something that you could get these guys back involved. But it is, like, it was nice seeing Jaylen Brown involved, but, like, that's about as big a star as we've seen, you know, involved in the dunk contest in several years.
We need Jaylen Brown along, and we need Jaylen Brown to be the least of the amount of stars.
Exactly, yes.
Like, he needs to be, like, the bottom star, and then the other stars are at the top.
And even him, Jared, you could tell he was working on his routine for a few days, but Mac McClung's been working on his for, like, a year now.
It was his Super Bowl.
It
was his Super Bowl, so, and he was a $2 favorite to win it. All right, lots more stuff to get to on A Numbers Game. Of course, I'm Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander today. Kelly Bidlin here as well. We're live from the D. College Hoops on the other side. I got a bet for you. Stay with us.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Oh, I know you've been busy with football, which is why the VSiN experts have just released our free NBA At the Break betting primer. Get the free guide today. Bet the NBA smarter. Futures bets to make right now. Eastern, Western conference analyses, plus betting tips for the rest of the season. Visit VSiN.com/guide. Get your free copy today. That's VSiN.com/guide. A Numbers Game. President's Day here live in downtown Las Vegas at the D. Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander for the next 2 days. Kelly Bidlin here as well. And Kelly, let's move on to what I think is the jewel, right, of February as we kind of ascend towards March. It's college basketball. That's where I spend a lot. And again, new audience for me, the first time I've been on this show. I am more skewed towards the college basketball vein. I struggle with it in December and January when football is at its peak. Now is when I officially turn my corner. And of course, NBA, NHL, that has its a slice of my brain, PGA as well. But for the most part, day to day, I do a lot of college basketball handicapping. That's kind of where I just enjoy watching. So that's where I spend a lot of my time. What we saw over the weekend, Kelly, was I don't want to say like a recalibration of the market, but you kind of saw the two top tier teams do two very different things. I think there's two teams right now that are at the top of my list. It's UConn and Purdue, and I think that's the top tier. I think Houston is close. I think Arizona is close. I think Tennessee is close. A couple other teams are kind of in that stratosphere. But I think if you ask me right now, the top two teams in college basketball, there is a line with UConn and Purdue and everyone else. Well, UConn looked really good over the weekend.
They looked awesome.
Beat the tar out of Marquette. And they are now the straight up at the top favorite. We saw UConn and Purdue kind of splitting the favorites role for the last week or so. But now I think UConn deserves to be the top dog. Purdue, we didn't see the market. And I'll be honest, if it moves too much further down, I think that's where I would be interested in buying Purdue. Of course, they lose to Ohio State yesterday. And what a great story that is. Ohio State fires their head coach on Wednesday or I think it was on Valentine's Day, no less. And so they bring in this interim coach, Jake Diebler. And he, what does he do? His first game. Go ahead and face. And by the way, they the seeding committee released the, you know, they released the top 16 overall seeds. Purdue at the top of the list. So Purdue going into yesterday, the number one overall seed in the country. And Jake Diebler, interim head coach of Ohio State, Buckeyes have had a brutal season. They beat Purdue outright. And now it's a home team vibe. I think home teams in the Big Ten, home teams in general, have been fantastic this year, especially top 10 teams on the road have really struggled. But how about Ohio State? First game out of the gate with the interim coach and knock off Purdue.
Yeah, that was we were watching that yesterday on Live Bet Sunday, and old Sharp Dustin Sweetelson had a bet on Ohio State there.
You got to bet the first game that the head coach gets fired.
Right, exactly. It's like that was basically his whole handicap. But yeah, that worked out really well. And what you talked about of the Big Ten going on the road, not easy this year.
It has not. Big Ten home teams against the spread since 2022. So basically the last two seasons, 58% cover rate. And, you know, throw the home teams in there or throw the top 10 teams on the road, throw the dogs in there. All of those are kind of in that same vein. About 58% home teams in the Big Ten cover rate since 2022. So congratulations to Jake Diebler. I'm sure it's been an interesting 24 hours for him. I'm sure his phone was absolutely blowing up yesterday.
For real.
Interim head coach of Ohio State knocks off the number one team in the country. So a bit of a, again, recalibration with the college basketball futures market after that yesterday. I do think UConn, to me, in my eyes, is the top dog. I think I would consider buying them, too. I saw Circa hanging a number yesterday, plus 130.
Okay.
Plus 130 to make the Final Four, I thought was a good number. I saw that come down a little bit today. I think 6-1 is a fair bet on UConn to win the national title. I saw that number, again, just start to creep down a little bit after yesterday, because I do think yesterday was like that clear line in the sand. Now UConn will be the number one team going forward, and we'll see how things play out. But the real question is, UConn's got the longest winning streak in the country. Do you want to lose a game before you get to March? Because
that old question. Yeah,
To be honest with you, I don't know what the right answer is, because I think if you ask the gambler, they'd say yes. If you'd ask the team, they say no, we don't want to lose.
I think, man, okay. Now we're going to play this whole mental game.
I like this game.
I think it's more important to lose a game, okay, or to not lose a game in a sport that's designed like college basketball is, where you just want to win every single game.
Right? I
agree. Like you get in an NCAA tournament.
One and done.
And you're one and done. So I don't know if you want to get accepting the mindset of what it's like to lose. Right?
I agree.
I think that's
important. That's where the player coach side says we don't want to lose, but from the gambler's perspective, you're due.
Right, you're due.
Even though that's the gambler's fallacy, we still think that way as human beings.
Yeah, totally. So, I'm with you, but I want to go back. So you've got UConn and Purdue kind of separated in a tier by themselves.
Yeah, and we'll get into it a little bit tonight.
I like that just because I feel like whenever I've talked to college basketball guys, it's like been, here's five or six schools, I believe.
No.
But you've got those two still in a tier by themselves.
Yeah, I think so. If the tournament was done today, I think if the top four seeds right now, the tourney committee released the seeding on Saturday or Sunday. I think I would put UConn, Purdue, obviously on the one line. I think Houston and Arizona also deserve ones. Again, we're not reinventing the wheel here. Those are the top four teams on the odds board. But I do think if I had to tier them, I think UConn, of course, with the pedigree, they know how to get to the top of the mountain, and they're just as talented this year as they were last year, and they're, I think, a year better. And they didn't lose a whole lot.
Right.
Whereas Purdue lost a little bit, but for the most part has everyone back, especially Edie. And Edie is really the reason why I trust Purdue a little bit more this year. I know they just lost to Ohio State.
Yeah,
yesterday.
But even the end of that game was funny with him, because I was like, the Zach Edey guy, you should probably go to him more. You should probably throw the ball down to him.
He looks different this year. He looks more athletic. He looks like he's slimmed down 20, 30 pounds. He looks like he's got a little bit more confidence in his game. Stiff was always the word I would use when I watched him.
Yeah.
A little more nimble this year. A little more dexterous, if you want to use a big word that Gil might use sometimes. Like I think he's a guy that probably can like lead an offense, whereas before he was just like the big dude in the middle that you just tried to go to, where now I think you can play through him a little more because he's a little more, again, experienced, but also athletic and flexible. He's in better shape. So, I think Purdue, they're a little more athletic this year, better shooters. I think I don't trust Matt Painter, but there aren't a lot of coaches in college basketball that I really trust.
Yeah.
I trust Hurley. Outside of that, who do we trust? Like, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I like that you're bringing that up because any regular listeners to a numbers game know that's Gil's, like, leading question for any college basketball guest.
Matt Painter? Or just in general?
It's like, who do we trust? Who do we actually trust here? And to your point, it's a short list.
It is. So
a couple games tonight, right?
Yeah,
you're involved in, right? Iowa State, Houston. We've got that one. That is at 9 Eastern time. Houston, 9-point favorites, 128. Looking at on your total there. Then we got Kansas State. Texas also same time. Texas 8.5-point favorites, 140.5 total. Any plays on either of those tonight?
Yeah, so again, it goes back to who we trust. I do trust Kelvin Sampson in Houston, but I think this is a good spot for Iowa State. Just line analysis wise, Houston was a 9.5-point favorite in their last game against Texas. Same spot at home in Houston. They won by 20 plus, easily covered. But now they're a 9-point favorite against Iowa State. So you do the line analysis game, Iowa State and Texas. Iowa State absolutely hammered Texas on the road this year. Iowa State is absolutely a point better, if not 2-3 points better than Texas. So if you just do that simple line analysis there, you might be able to extract some value on Iowa State catching 9. That's the way I played it. This is a revenge game for Houston. That is something to keep in mind. Iowa State won this game at Hilton by 4 back in early January. They were a slight underdog in that game. Now, obviously, a big underdog in the game in Houston. But Iowa State, I think this is an interesting team, right? They're not in that top tier like maybe a Houston or a UConn or a Purdue, but road wins at Texas, Cincinnati, TCU, only lost to Baylor by, you know, a possession. They're one of the best defensive teams in the country. They're better offensively than we probably give them credit for. This is an Iowa State team that has gotten a lot of buzz in the market over the last couple of weeks. We've seen their number come down considerably. I think the Cyclones, I'm not going to say they're going to go into Houston and win this game tonight, but I think this is a very good Iowa State team. I think 9 points too many to be catching.
I like it. I like that market comparison to what we saw with the Texas game. Okay, real quick question. Do you think 9 just buy at this point now? I'm looking at what kind of the odds history has been here. It looks like this has been bouncing between 8.5 to 9.5 basically since it opened. Do you think better chance we go back to 8.5 on this game or 9.5?
I think better chance we go back to 8.5. That was That was the first move was then usually the overnight markets in college basketball, unless it's like a wave that just washes 4 or 5 points, you will get that, you know, buyback
back and
forth.
But
the first move
is usually the right one.
Tends to be the one, especially with the higher profile games, tends to be the one that I at least give a little more credence to. But then when I handicap the game from a situational standpoint, some of the regression data as well, shot quality does a great job with that. Iowa State, I think, keeps it in the number tonight at Houston. All right, coming up next, we'll transition to hockey. Jay Kahn from SiriusXM joins us, a numbers game. Stay with us.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, if you're looking for a betting edge on college basketball, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get our daily best bets emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming College Hoops betting guide, bracket breakdowns, plus full access to VSiN.com with our exclusive betting split breakdowns on every game. Visit VSiN.com/pro to subscribe today. That is VSiN.com/pro. Jared Smith back here on and up in for Gil Alexander for the next 2 days. We appreciate you joining us here. President's Day Monday. We are live at the D in downtown Las Vegas. Kelly Bidlin here with us as well. And joining us now, he is the co-host of The Point and of the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM. He is Jay Kahn. Follow him on Twitter at JayHahn4. Jake, it's great to talk some puck with you this morning. We're just on the heels of the NBA All-Star Game. We just had the Hockey All-Star Game right last weekend, and we had the Stadium Series, I believe, over the weekend. So very exciting time for the hockey world. Did you catch the Stadium Series from New York over the weekend?
I did actually. I was able to watch both games, and it's funny. Usually, we go with the unders in the stadium series or any outdoor game, right? That's kind of the narrative that's been out there, and I tend to gravitate towards the unders as well. But we saw two very high scoring games at the stadium series over the weekend, and just an unbelievable comeback from the Rangers against the Islanders yesterday. Honestly, probably one of the better outdoor games or one of the more memorable outdoor games. It had fights, it had goals, it had a third period comeback, an overtime winner. So that was great. And yeah, going back to the All-Star game as well, it was actually hosted here in Toronto where I am. So that was honestly one of the better weekends I think I've had covering the game of hockey. So it's been a real fun couple of weeks for the NHL, and now we're able to ramp it up. And hey, a lot of extra eyeballs, I think, on the league for the next few days. The NBA doesn't return until I believe it's Thursday, right, guys? So
yeah,
a few days here where maybe some NBA bettors are looking to sprinkle some coin down on the NHL.
That is a fantastic point. As a Rangers fan, I was able to cover the stadium series. It was like 8 years ago, the last time it was in New York. It was at Citi Field. And it was a blast. Other than the fact it was freezing cold, it was a really fun event. And I'm sure they did a great job at MetLife over the weekend. All right, let's get into tonight's games, because as you mentioned, there are no NBA, so there might be some basketball bettors looking to get involved in some puck tonight. Wings and Kraken. This is a bit of an afternoon game, I guess, in Seattle here on President's Day. Kraken about a 35 or so cent favorite, now up to 40 cents now on the money line, total sitting at 6. What's the look here?
Yeah, early puck drops are definitely the theme here. Obviously out on the West Coast, so it's even earlier. I believe it's a 12:30 puck drop or maybe 1 o'clock puck drop out in Seattle local time. So early game, I think we're seeing a lot of those. I know the Blues game, they dropped the puck at noon local time as well. So a lot of teams playing in maybe some uncomfortable positions in terms of start time. So it could be difficult to figure out who will respond to those types of situations. But I just think goals could be tricky to come by in this game, guys. If we get the goaltending matchup now, Alex Lyon is confirmed for Detroit. I'm assuming Joey Decord is going to go for Seattle because they've had a few days off. They're going to go with their best goaltender as well. So with those two guys between the pipes, they've quietly been two of the better, more consistent goaltenders in the league this year. And they were basically unknowns coming into the year, two guys that we wouldn't even look at as starters. But that just kind of goes to show you what happens with goaltenders in the National Hockey League, and they could be tricky to figure out year to year. But these are two guys that I really trust. So with a total at 6.5, I think the under is worth a look here. Money line, I think the value is probably with Detroit at plus 120. I maybe a small bet on the Red Wings on the money line, but I prefer the under 6.5 here. I think it could be a struggle for these teams to run up the score.
Canucks and Wild today. Vancouver is a slight road favorite. Again, total sitting at 6. That seems to be most of the totals these days, right? Jake, 6, 6.5 with juice to the over there in Minnesota.
We are seeing the market come down a little bit on the totals. I think that's a good point to bring up because, I mean, we saw it rise significantly over the last couple of years, and now it's kind of settling back down. Like you said, most of the totals kind of sit in that 6 range, but we are seeing some 5.5s pop back up there as well as teams tighten it up, and we'll see if that trend continues as the season goes on, because now we're getting into that playoff-style hockey that we always talk about where it can be a little tighter, a little more difficult to create chances and score goals. But I'm going to give Minnesota a look here on home ice. I don't like to go against Vancouver, and they are coming off a loss on the weekend, so I think the Canucks are going to be motivated to bounce back. But I just think this is the last ditch effort for the Wild. The chances of them making the playoffs are pretty slim at this point. There's just not too many spots for them to try to track down. But I believe in that room, they still think that they're in this, and they're going to try to go on a run here, right? And they've actually been playing some decent hockey over the last couple of weeks. Love the top line that they've got going right now. So as a plus money home dog in, you know, sort of a weird day game, I'm going to take the Wild. And I'd also give a look to Matt Boldy on the shot prop, over 3.5 shots for Matt Boldy playing on that top line I just referenced, with Joel Eriksson-Ek and Kirill Kaprizov. He has been firing the puck lately for Minnesota.
I remember, Jake, I used to bet totals when they were 5, and I'm thinking to myself, man, 2-2, we're good. We go to overtime, we get that third goal on either side, we get a push. Now it is a completely different game with totals in the NHL. We are joined by Jay Kahn, co-host of The Point, and the fantasy show over on SiriusXM does a great job covering the NHL for us. Jake, let's get to Leafs-Blues. You get Toronto, a pretty sizable favorite on the road, about 50, 55 cents here, and a higher total between Toronto and St. Louis, 6.5.
Yeah, we actually just saw this game last week in Toronto. I was in attendance for this game, and it was a bit of a snoozer, guys. I'm not going to lie. The Blues came in on, I believe it was a 5-game win streak coming into that game against Toronto. And I thought, man, okay, I'm going to get to see this red hot Blues team. The Leafs at the time were dealing with an illness in the room. Their top defenseman is suspended right now in Morgan Rielly. So they had a depleted lineup, and St. Louis just did nothing in that game. They were very disappointing. So look, I'm willing to give any team a pass. It's a long season. You're going to throw in a bad game every now and again. But if you take away that game, the Blues have actually been playing some real good hockey of late. And I think they're going to be motivated to bounce back here. And like I mentioned, this is a noon puck drop in St. Louis. The Leafs played at home over the weekend in Toronto. So got to travel to St. Louis, then play an early game. I just think it's kind of a tough scheduling spot for the Maple Leafs. And if you're getting the Blues at plus money as a team that just lost to Toronto last week, I like the value with the Blues here. The one thing to watch out for the Leafs, though, is Austin Matthews. This guy is just on an absolute tear right now. Back-to-back hat tricks. So he's going for 3 hat tricks in a row. Wow. In this game. And I certainly wouldn't put it past him the way that this guy can score goals. He's one of the best goal scorers I've ever seen. But I'm still going to go with the Blues here and give me the Jake Neighbors shot prop. I'd like to take it up to over 2.5. You can get it around plus 170. I think that's a nice bet with him on the first power play right now.
Jake, shot on goal props to me have been, I think, one of my favorite parts about betting hockey over the last, let's say, year or so. That, you know, I think the prop market has really become a big thing. Is that the most popular prop that's bet these days in hockey? Is it shots on goal?
It certainly became the most popular bet. And I think to the point where maybe you don't get as much value as you used to about a year ago, maybe even 2 years ago, where they were hanging some real nice lines. And I think people were taking advantage of it. So I think the market has adjusted a little bit to the point where, okay, now we have to start looking at some unders. I think a lot of people were, you know, just trying to hammer your favorite overs, take your guys that are going to shoot the puck a lot. But the market has adjusted. And you know, I think the bettors now have to adjust the other way as well and say, okay, you know, can we find some value on some unders on some of these guys? But hey, it's a little bit more fun to take the overs on the shot props, cheer for guys to shoot. But I do think we've had to adjust here, at least over the course of this year. And they've been a little more stingy with the shot tracking as well. So something to keep an eye on.
Well, that's interesting.
That is an interesting wrinkle.
It's a great market. Jake's always all over it, Jared. It's one I always think about it as an NBA bettor. I'm like, where I wish I could bet on field goal attempts.
Yeah, you just know like what I mean? Passing attempts, right, in the NFL.
Exactly. Because I know some guy's going to shoot it a ton.
100%. You don't know if they're going to go in.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think, Jake, the way that the hockey markets have evolved is fascinating with the props. Let's get to the game of the day, and it is another early game. Stars and Bruins, and I was surprised, and I know Dallas is really solid, but I was surprised. Boston is a relatively short favorite at home. I'm assuming a lot of people are going to want to bet the Bruins at home in this holiday environment today. But what say you about two of the best teams in hockey squaring off in Boston today?
Yeah, I've kind of flip-flopped back and forth on this one. I'm not going to lie, guys. I initially looked at it and I thought, well, Dallas is just playing better right now. The Bruins have lost 4 in a row. They don't really look like the Bruins. They had a crazy game against LA on Saturday, back and forth, and they ultimately lost in an overtime 5-4, so it was more of a higher-scoring affair. Technically or historically, the Bruins are really good in these matinee spots. They play a lot of day games, so they're very comfortable playing an early start type game. So like you said, short favorite for Boston. I don't think you're going to get this type of price with them too often. The Stars team is really deep. They're very dangerous. Not a team I like to bet against very often, but I think at this price, I am leaning towards the Boston Bruins to bounce back. It's just a team that I trust. They're too consistent. They're not going to lose too many games in a row here. So I'd shop the number a little bit, maybe even look to get in live if you can find a better number on Boston. But I think the Bruins find a way to navigate a win today.
Last 30 seconds here, Jake. You got the Golden Knights, almost a $3 favorite at the Sharks. You got another big favorite, the Hurricanes against the Blackhawks, and the Oilers, almost a $3 favorite against the Coyotes. Of those three big favorites, anyone on upset alert today?
I like all the chalk there. I just think that those teams are significantly better, but the Oilers are the chalk I like the most. Arizona playing second half of a back-to-back. They just played Colorado last night, and they're starting a goaltender who's getting his first NHL start, and he's going up against the Beast in Edmonton. So if you're looking for a parlay piece, a nice favorite, I think I would go with the Oilers today.
Always a nice parlay piece. Jay Kahn from The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM. Follow him on Twitter at JayHahn4. Thanks for joining us, pal.
Yeah, great chat with you boys.
More numbers game.
Have a nice holiday Monday.
Ah, you too. More numbers game coming up next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, this week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers deposit $5, get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app, use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. A numbers game, President's Day, live from the D, downtown Las Vegas. Jarrett Smith in for Gil Alexander today and tomorrow. Is he on vacation? Vacation, right?
Yeah, Gil's on vacation. His little
do we know where?
Super Bowl sabbatical.
Is he he's on a desert island somewhere?
A few different places. He was going home at first, but then I know there were a couple other destinations after that. So
I always laugh at the exodus post Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? It's always funny. That's when I get my most amount of calls. Like, hey, I need you here. I need you.
Works a lot.
I am thrilled to be here. This is a show that I've watched for years, the Megapod, et cetera. Gil and I have had a couple of interactions, of course. We work at different times usually. It's like two ships passing. Passing in the night. I work a lot of evenings here at VSiN. He works obviously the mornings. I do see Kelly. Kelly, I see you on the weekends a lot.
Yeah, we run into each other then.
Don't see you a lot during the week. So this is again an opportunity for me to connect with a new audience, and we appreciate the time on a President's Day. So probably a lot of people home with their kids, right? No school today, bank holidays, all that fun stuff. We appreciate the time today.
Yeah, tweet into the show. I don't want to know what you're doing for President's Day. Like,
is it a holiday that people care about? Do you celebrate President's Day?
That's what I wanted to know. Anybody celebrates, like celebrates.
Like,
I want to
dress
know
in
about.
Full George Washington regalia and like march down the street with like what was the signs they used?
Don't barbecues.
Tread on me signs or something like that back in the Revolution.
Yeah, I think there's barbecues, but like
that's like my Memorial Day thing,
but,
right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, but like, I don't even remember the last time I've heard of anybody doing that. So yeah, if you're celebrating, let us know.
Yeah, hit us up on VSiN. You could tag us at VSiN _ live. Is that the I forget the exact
at Kelly Bidlin, at Jared Lee Smith.
100%. Hit us up on Twitter. We'll read your tweets on the air. We'll have a grand old time. All right. The NFL season, it's been a whole week now, and I hope you enjoyed the first Sunday without NFL. I guess technically two Sundays ago during the bye week, it was no Sunday NFL, but you get my point with the first NFL post Sunday season as we now wait. And
which Sunday was worse? Now that you just question. You brought that up, I think that Sunday in between the Super Bowl and the championship
game. Well, it's like the waiting is the hardest part.
Yes.
Like, you know, you've – well, I think that's the day that I reach my saturation point with handicapping the Super Bowl.
No, exactly.
Because
exactly.
It's like I've done the whole week, and now there's supposed to be a game, but now I have to wait a whole other week for the game. That second week – which is also media row week when we do a lot of our, the good news is the prep for the most part is done by then,
right.
But you're just, it's like, can we play the freaking game already?
Yeah.
I think that the
like
the
now
torture,
we're in the time of acceptance. Like,
Agreed. Accept
the season is done. You need to go through the grieving process or
yes,
whatever.
The grieving process is over
yes,
now.
The season's over. Move on with your life.
Yes.
And move on to next season. Cause there's plenty of things to bet already.
I agree 100%. And it's like that, you know, one less week, if you had a countdown clock, well, you can rip one page off the countdown because we are 1 week closer to football season started. We have made it through the first week with no NFL. But it does bring an interesting point because even though there is no season, we have a long time to go until the season. The NFL does not sleep. It is the city, the market that never sleeps.
Yep.
The futures market has already been, I don't want to say bet into, but we've already had a lot of discussions about next year. We talked about Super Bowl, MVP, and that kind of stuff, but we already have alternative markets available in the NFL. We already have the offensive player of the year markets available in the NFL. And again, we're not running to the window to bet this stuff, but I think what it does for me at this point in the offseason, Kelly, is I'm not there yet where I'm really starting to, okay, let's organize the portfolio and let's get everything set. I'm kind of in that dead zone, but it gives you a chance to at least formulate thoughts. Hey, this might be a team to look into in the offseason. This might be a team to fade in the offseason. And no surprise, Christian McCaffrey's at the top of the list for Offensive Player of the Year as he just continues to be the star of the NFL.
Yeah, he's incredible. Yeah, real quick, I just want to bring, you know, kind of how you bet stuff through the offseason. I don't know about you, but it is like if I'm looking at this stuff now, I don't have a problem with anybody making a bet now. I think what you need to understand, though, if you're betting any of these markets is – you're trying to grab something I'm not going to necessarily just say a long shot, but you're trying to grab something where you know the number is going to only get short.
Totally.
Right. Agree. So you need to kind of come up. I think you need to be able to make a case for that before you dive in. But there's, you know, like Mike Somich did a great job last week on with us talking about how he was betting the Chiefs day after the Super Bowl just because he thought as soon as they added another offensive weapon or two, that number was going to get even shorter. So while they're one of the shorter numbers on the board,
interesting.
I don't think that's a bad point by him. So I do think I will tend to look at longer shots when we talk about offensive player of the year in some of these other ones. Because, I mean, you do have to understand you're holding on to this for basically 12 months, right?
I mean, they don't announce the award until the day. Was it day before? The 2 days before the Super Bowl?
Three days before
the Super Bowl. So you are basically 355 days.
Yeah,
you're basically going to be holding onto this ticket. So for those of you with smaller bankrolls, I don't recommend betting this.
Yeah, probably not.
You know, my bankroll, and I always try to be transparent. I know sometimes it's hard. I'm not going to tell you every bet that I make because sometimes I make bets for me that I don't want to make public. But for the most part, I am pretty transparent with the larger wagers, the more higher profile wagers on bigger events, bigger stuff. These aren't markets I'm interested in betting right now. Hmm. I think these are markets that I'm interested in monitoring. To steal a phrase from our pal Femi Abebefe, I like monitoring these markets, but I don't know what I don't know how I'm going to feel about these teams in 4 or 5 months when the season really starts. I think the actual futures market with long shot teams makes a little bit more sense, but when it comes to individual players, like there was a point last year where you could have made a really strong case for Tyreek Hill. You could have made a really strong case for Christian McCaffrey. Yep. And we really didn't know the top of this market, I want to say, until midseason. Midseason, you could probably take 3 or 4 guys and say everyone else is irrelevant in this market. But at this stage, there's a lot of guys that we could maybe make relevant. And I think that's where I struggle when I'm kind of in this post-Super Bowl dead zone, really zeroing in on 1 or 2 players to park my money for 9-10 months, really, before I have any clue how this market, the dynamics of it's really going to shape out. I struggle with actually risking real dollars on.
Yeah, no, I hear you. What's interesting here is I think there's some you can almost immediately cross off
whenever
you talk about any of these markets. So like, okay, McCaffrey, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson at
those numbers aren't going anywhere.
Offensive player of the year. Most likely those are not going anywhere. I would say that CeeDee Lamb probably even belongs a little closer to those Hill and Justin Jefferson numbers just because of I don't know about you, Jared, but I think it's more. I think what the Dallas offense was able to do this past year, it's going to be easier to replicate them than Minnesota getting back to what it was, or even Miami doing exactly what they did a year ago. Like that, those are some lofty expectations. Other one that I would cross off here. Jamar Chase, just because you don't know, there is so much that could change with that Cincinnati wide receiving core between and start of season.
100%.
That he might end up being basically the only guy left there. He could be one of those 3 same wide receivers plus a Brock Bowers added to it, where I would not want to be betting him at all. So I think it's guys like that where you could kind of say, all right, who can I make a case for at least not even considering here? And then it makes me, maybe it creates some value on some others.
Interesting.
I'm going to go down the list a little bit because there were a couple that did jump out to me.
Go down. I think
AJ Brown.
I was going to say 40 to 1 and lower to me is where I start to. Okay, maybe there's a number available that I'm interested in.
I think we've swung too far on the Eagles. Like I think there is too much of what happened, what the Eagles were a year this past season and what they ended this past season as. I think they're going to make some coaching changes. I think you're going to see a Eagles team that looks very different and probably look much more like it looked 2 years ago this next season. And A.J. Brown's a monster on that offense. 40 to 1. And even last year, even this past season, he still put up good numbers. So he's the one that jumped out to me. I don't be Bijan Robinson, if you think he's really going to make a jump. I think that's an interesting number. Brees Hall at 35.
Brees Hall, and also Garrett Wilson at 40 to 1, caught my eye, because that's a guy that if we do get 17 games of Aaron Rodgers, that's a guy that even have 1,000-yard season last year with the disaster quarterback situation that the Jets had. Imagine if he actually had a legit quarterback. I like that you started with Brown. I honestly think 40-1. And by the way, eliminate every quarterback on this list. Yeah, they're not winning totally. This award.
Yeah, good. So glad you.
They're not
that
winning
up.
This yep. award. It's not a quarterback award. So, but I think that's Kelly kind of gave you the line of demarcation. 40-1 and down, skill position players. Those are guys where you can grab a number now, and you could feel at least somewhat confident that you might get an inch or two. Maybe three or four, depending on the, you know, the splashes that yeah. take place over the next few months, movement in your favor. Because right now, you're not interested in winning this bet. You're interested in gaining value as we enter the cold, dark abyss that is no football for the next 6 months. Hour number two of a numbers game coming up after this here on VSiN.